Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Okay, tonight might be a bit of a shorter episode because I didn't do all that much pre-prep on this because I've been running around, just got back from EMS World Expo in Vegas. And on top of that, if you're not aware, I live in an area of New York State that was hit pretty hard by the hurricane. So there's a lot of cleanup going on here and a lot of personal things that I'm trying to get accomplished. So I'm going to try to touch on some key points in tonight's show and some key aspects, I think, to hopefully maybe get you thinking a little bit and maybe getting you to maybe reevaluate where you're headed and where you maybe can better spend your time in your education efforts in EMS. So I want to talk about that. But again, I just got back from EMS World Expo in Vegas and I had a great time. For me, the best part was that I got to meet a lot of other bloggers and some other podcasters and people that I've actually been doing business with online, the people that I've actually been collaborating with online, and got to meet them up close in person, and actually was able to put that whole, in-person face to the name thing, and really had a good time meeting these people. And I didn't get to meet everybody that I wanted. Some people I just couldn't get access to. Other people, I wasn't even aware they were at the expo. So I'm planning, of course, to try to continue going to these events because it was a really great learning experience to me to get out there and to meet these other podcasters, these other bloggers that are out there, and get some of their inside perspective on what they're doing with their blogs and their podcasts and things like that. And also, you know, really make it more of a community that we are here in EMS. And every part of EMS has its own little community. And I think the blogging community in EMS is unique as well. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And I really enjoy doing these blogs and doing these podcasts out there. So I had a great time. And in the expo, I actually did two podcast when I was there. I joined Jamie Davis from the Medicast and did a session with him on the Medicast live on the show floor. And I also did one with Greg Fries from the EMS Educast and did a episode with him as well. If you're a fan of mine on Facebook, you'll see some of the still photographs that are there. Of course, I don't know. I don't look that interested in the photographs, but I was. Don't let the picture fool you. Not sure. You know, they must have been waiting for me to make special faces during the pre-show and during the show because they got some really bad angles of me. But in any event, the live episodes are going to be coming out soon. Of course, I will be posting them. I'll be mentioning them here in the show as well as we go along. If you want to call in tonight, by the way, there is an 800 number you can call to discuss things with me. It's 877-217-3924. I'd love to go ahead and hear your comments and concerns and maybe chime in on what I am discussing tonight. Now, tonight, I usually have a few guests on, but as in everything in life, things come up. Things happen, and everybody can't always be where they want. So Tim Noonan, who is a rogue medic, he's a regular guest on the show, under the weather today and not able to make it in, and that's totally understandable. Of course, I'm hoping Tim feels better as we go along, and hopefully he'll be able to join us in the coming weeks. And also my co-host there, Josh Knapp, also unable to make it tonight. He actually works in EMS like I do, like Tim does, and many of the people that join me here on the show. And Josh got called in to work. So, you know, these things happen. You know, EMS is a unique animal like that a lot of times. We'll go ahead and you will get called into, you know, into things that you can't really help. And these things happen. It's understandable. And that makes EMS a unique type of a animal. So I do have one call. I'm going to see who this is, and maybe we can go ahead and discuss the primary topic tonight. I do have some other highlights I want to try to touch on before the night's over. But I don't want to keep this call on a hold too long. Caller, who's this?
It's me, Jim. It's Josh. How you doing?
Hey, Josh. So you're able to make it in? I'll call you
Well,
from
I
the
may or
road.
may not. I'm on standby. I'm on a critical care bus here at the hospital, and I'm on standby for the next half hour. So we'll see what my shift may give us. But this is a subject near and dear to my heart, as you know.
Well, maybe it'll be exciting if you get a call. We can hear the tones go off, and we can hear you kind of running to the door, and running out and going on the assignment.
I might hang up the phone before then, but I don't want to blow the
Oh,
whole,
I
image that
got
you
you.
just laid out there,
I think it sounds very exciting to me. I don't know.
No, it
Well,
was.
Josh, I missed you at the expo. Hopefully next time you'll be able to join in. There's actually some other people I thought I was going to see there. I didn't get to see them, so a little disappointed about that. But at the same time, I kind of got there a day or so late because of my hurricane issues and travel plans and work issues and stuff. So didn't get to see everyone I wanted to. If I wish I had more time, I probably would have been able to do that. Tonight, Josh, I kind of focused this whole thing, this been there, got the T-shirt mentality, where people just kind of they go through all this training and different training courses and whatnot, and they get that T-shirt and or they have the training, but they don't really use it that often, or maybe it's not even something that you might even use that often in EMS. And I know that nationwide, a lot of EMS agencies deal heavily in rescue, and they deal heavily, and they're the sole response agency in some parts when it comes to hazmat or like things like high angle rescue training and stuff like that. But a lot of people, it seems, take a lot of these courses and then never get to use them, because they're not the EMS where they are isn't really their primary response for, let's say, a hazmat issue, or EMS isn't really the primary response entity for a diving rescue, or again, a high angle rescue, or something like that. I mean, do you think? I mean, it's important, I think, for EMS, to be aware of all this stuff. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, and I'll be honest with you. There's two sides to this argument, and then there's certainly the side, and I've been on both. Not to be too indistinct here. I mean, I definitely am of the mindset that the more you know in this business, the better off you're going to be because of the variety of things that we have to meet with and deal with on a day to day. You just never know that. I mean, we deal in emergencies, so you never know that you're not going to be that you might be called to something totally outside of your realm. If you're out in rural areas, a tunnel collapse or a well that somebody didn't know, or now these seeping caves, that happens. If you're in an urban environment, buildings collapse. We just got rocked first time in how many years by an earthquake here in New York. Well, it's in Virginia, but it went up to New York. So are these things, if you learn high angle rescue and never put a rope or a harness on from that day forward, are you really doing yourself a disservice? Well, only if you're looking to make your career in high angle or USAR. Otherwise, it's something that's good to know.
Well, that's my thing. I think that it's important for the training. I mean, especially things like hazmat, I think is very important, for EMS to be aware, because you never know what you're walking into. You never quite, especially in the climate that we're in with potential terror attacks, especially agencies that are in bigger, bigger cities, and people that work in areas that have, high value targets and things like that. It's important to know that stuff. But a lot of times you might go to the training, but maybe the agency you're working for isn't equipped for you to utilize it. A lot of
Right.
agencies don't have, a big hazmat setup. They've got pretty much, they stop at the mask type thing. You know what I
Right.
mean?
Right.
Of course, things like FDNY and whatever, and they've got big hazmat setups. And I've been on scenes where I've seen, the FDNY, paramedics show up and suit up, and they have the decon thing and all that good stuff, and I've seen that happen. But for smaller agencies, it's like that. You never get to do that. And again, I think that the awareness is important. I think it's vital for some things, especially, like I said, like hazmat, I think is a vital thing to have. But I think sometimes it may be some of the training that people kind of focus on because it's kind of hot, right? It's hot to have
Right.
that hazmat
Or
training.
they
It's
get
kind of,
grant money. They get
yeah,
the grant
right.
money.
And it's cool to have that tactical training or the high angle rescue, but if you're not using it all the time, or your agency that you where you work doesn't necessarily is able to utilize it because they don't have the equipment, or even your coworkers that aren't trained. If you're the only one in your agency that has it, and you have, and even if you have the equipment, what good, really good is it? And a lot of the stuff, you know, is a team type effort type thing. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be better time better spent learning, and getting educated more in depth for things that we do, like the medical part of you know, EMS, you know what I mean?
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the other side of the coin, is that, you know, you have to look at it two ways. Does this make me more useful to my department, or does this help me advance my career or make me better in my career? And
right.
There's a time management aspect of, hey, yeah, you know, learning about nerve gas and biological weapons is cool, but if you're in an area that you may never come across that, is an awareness level important? Absolutely. But do you have to be a certified technician? You know, you could argue that you don't. And that
yeah.
maybe being a superior ACLS provider really makes the cut, because you have long transport times and you have to do more and stabilize the patient more en route to a facility.
Right.
So you're going to be a better EMS provider with the medical knowledge you now have. But I mean, I'm a big proponent. You know this. You know my background is I'm a weapons mass destruction instructor, and I'm a very big proponent of awareness level training for everybody in EMS. I don't care where you are, what you do. You know, if you serve the public, you should have an awareness level. After that, you know, there's aspects of, you might have a team in your town that you can join, and you might just, you know, be better off being a really good provider and learn the medicine behind what you're doing.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, you know, like you said, awareness is important. Even things like tactical training, you don't have to go into be this whole, you know, tactical medic where you're wearing the bulletproof vest and you're going in with SWAT teams and things like that. I mean, you can do things and take classes where the tactical part of it is more of a self-defense type thing, you know, making yourself aware of how to stay safe on call, especially when you have violent patients or unexpected, you know, patients that might get violent with you. You know, we can be aware and use aspects of this training on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't always have to be the full-blown thing. And again, that whole awareness act. I know that there's actually a advanced hazmat life support class that's offered online, actually, and they go over things like how to assess hazmat patients and recognize toxic syndromes, poisoning treatment, you know, things, and even identifying and administrating specific antidotes of it. And this is an online course. It's like it's online, but it's live. So it's like real-time lectures where people, you can kind of get a two-way interaction between you and the instructor. And this is the only – it's offered by Distance CME, and they actually are the only one online that offers it. And it's in conjunction with the University of Arizona and American Academy of Clinical Toxicology. So I'll put a link to that in the notes in case anyone needs it. But
yeah,
that
sounds good.
That's kind of a cool awareness course. And it's no joke. This is an actual big, you know, pretty – big course. It's actually a two-day course, but it really can give EMS professionals a really effective response strategy in the medical management of hazmat incidents. And that goes back to what I just mentioned, the medical part. You know what I mean? How to medically manage a hazmat, you know, patient, not necessarily, you know, how to work on a hazmat scene itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's another course that's sort of in the same ballpark as that, not on hazmat, but on tactical medicine, and I believe that it's supported by the AEMT organization. I may have that, you know, I may have the acronym screwed, but it's a TCCC course, Tactical Combat Casualty Care. And this is available, I happen to know it's available at spots around the country. And you want to talk about an in-the-moment skill set. I mean, you know, we just had those military guys that were shot out.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I heard
you know,
that.
Out west, and mm-hmm. that was a horrible thing. But, you know, I just did a shooting yesterday that ended up in the paper. This guy decided to try to strangle a cop, which was probably a bad idea considering he wasn't armed and the cop was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you learn how to deal with gunshot wounds and even IED and major blunt force trauma in that happens in the field that could, you know, you could be there at a campus and be shot and you'd know how to handle it for yourself or for a partner or for a downed police officer. And these are two-day courses and they're extremely condensed. They're a lot of fun. You learn a lot and you walk away with some skills that are fairly simple to use and you can apply in the field the next day. And
yeah,
so
I think
those
that's important.
Are really useful things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to when you take a lot of these classes, and I don't think it's not just with a lot of some of the things we're talking about here, even talking about the medical aspect of it. You know, a lot of these medical courses that you take, a lot of these medical CMEs that are kind of really laser targeted on things like stroke or you know, certain things for certain parts of the, like certain types of MIs. They really kind of zero in and laser target that topic, and you can actually walk away from that and start using that right away. You know, and you know, instead of going through this whole thing where you've got this specialized training that you're never going to use again, and you wind up, like you said, it's more of a resume builder. It's not really something you're going to be using every day. And then, of course, too, you know, I think there's also a risk with that also with those classes, because if it's the type of thing where you're not using it every day and you get thrown into it and you're not training, you know, you put a risk to yourself at that point as well because you're not fresh on
exactly.
it anymore. You know, you're talking something – I mean, how often do you get these hazmat jobs? You know what I mean? It's hard enough for the people that train on it all the time and whose agency is the primary response agency for that to begin with to deal with them. Never mind if you're the type – you're the person, let's say the go-to person at your agency that took it because you're kind of building your resume, but now they know about it. Now you're going to be the kind of the go-to guy for your agency, and something happens and they look to you, and without having your agency provide that continue training, the drills and stuff like that, you know,
right.
then you wind up putting yourself at risk and putting, of course, the patients that you're trying to help at risk if you're not doing things the right way.
Well, that's, you know, a definite word to the wise of don't represent yourself as something you're not because,
right.
you know, you'll get into a situation, people will turn to you, and all of a sudden you really don't know your stuff and you're dealing with something that can kill you or kill others. And that's
yeah.
the time, you know, this is the big boy world, and you got to act like an adult and represent what your skill sets are.
Yeah.
But I'll throw another thing, that these training programs are good because – you know, they break up the monotony. I mean, they give you something, they give you another aspect to look at in the field that you're in, and who knows, maybe it's something you really hook into, really like, it registers well with you, and it's
mm-hmm.
a new direction you can go, but it keeps you fresh, and that's an important aspect training classes.
It is true, though. I just came back from the expo. I took a couple of the seminars there, and I didn't really need the CMEs because I just got done recerting, so I'm pretty much good until starting October. Then anything's going to really apply to my next research. But I took some classes that I normally wouldn't have taken. But it's the type of stuff that kind of kept me fresh, kind of opened my eyes to some things, gave me a different perspective on things, you know, and really get your wheels turning, you know. There's actually a site out there, too. I was talking about the whole tactical aspect, tactical training. There's a defensive tactics, which are, you know, protecting yourself, you know, from things. And it's at what the hell is the damn domain? Oh, dt4ems.com. And they have like live courses that you go and they show you like the hands-on how to get out of certain holes if a patient has you. And it's not about beating the patient up or anything like that. It's about getting away from the scene, you know.
I've seen those YouTube videos.
Right, a lot of YouTube videos. There's one they have on there that says, "Has this ever happened to you?" And you watch that video, and it really, it's kind of an eye opener that that's the type of thing that can happen to you in any call that you go on. And to even to be aware and to take one of those types of courses and have them come to your agency and teach that course. I mean, that's some good training, and that's the type of stuff you can use, you know, all the time and be prepared to use every day. Even I did a webinar with Steve Kanarian on like the five T's he calls it. It's ways to stay safe on the scene. You know, the distance, the shielding, you know, all that type of stuff. And you know, great. And that's a type of webinar too. It's a type of thing where it is easy to implement, easy to kind of keep in front of your mind that these are the things that you can do to protect yourself on any scene. And Steve actually just, I don't know if you know Josh, he just coming out with a book in the next week or so called The Downwind Walk, and it's about his experiences on 9/11 and lessons learned from 9/11 and how he implemented some of these things that kind of kept him from getting very, very ill, where a lot of the people he was on, you know, in 9/11 with got very sick from all the toxins and stuff like that they were breathing in. And, you know, he points out that this is the type of stuff that kept him, you know, safe, you know, during
the whole
event.
It's not the first time I've heard that, Jim. I'll tell you, I've heard a number of people say that their previous experience, either in training or in a course that they took, kept them in out of harm's way. And this comes under several aspects. I know some guys who've done a lot of tactical training, and they were at a active live shooting, and they knew how to really protect themselves from stray shots.
Right, you know what to go behind.
Close calls.
You know what,
right,
right. You know what things are going to stop a bullet. What's not going to stop a bullet?
And you think that that's like a you think that? I'm sorry. We're going into a tour change now. You'd think that that would be a no-brainer. You'd think that would be a kind of obvious choice, but it's really not. And these kind of courses really teach you how to make the right decisions.
I think what happens is that people say, oh, you know, I know all about that. You know, it's kind of like they kind of feel they know all about it already. I know about shielding. I know to stay downwind from whatever. I know to stay, you know what I mean? They kind of have this whole mentality, I know. It's like when you talk to your teenager, you know, they know everything, but they really don't know everything. And these courses, while can be in some ways very basic, if you take these courses, even if you take one once a year, just to kind of refresh your memory of the little nuances that are involved with you know, having this awareness, it can keep you prepared.
Well,
you know what
I'll throw one other new thing, because I may have to leave in a minute, but I also want to get this. I want to encourage people. I've been I'm an instructor currently, but I've also been a ACLS instructor and a PALS instructor, and as well as a BLS instructor. And I let the other two expire because I really didn't get to use them. I kept my BLS instructor, but I highly recommend that anybody out there, you know, if you're part of this, learn to teach. I mean, it's a real experience to be able to walk into a classroom and educate others of the skills that you know. And it gives you a different appreciation when you attend these classes, so you don't sit there and go, yeah, I know, when you may know or you might know something different, but here's another take on it.
Right. Yeah, I always tell people that all the time. You know, people. Well, I've taken you know, CVA classes. I've taken 12-week classes. I've taken whatever. But you know what? To me, a lot of times, just about unless it's the same instructor, you know, every instructor can give a different spin on the content. And you might sit there for the hour or 30 minutes or whatever it is, and say, oh my God, I've heard all this before. This is just droning on and on. But there might be one little nugget that you can pull out of that training, out of that session, you can walk away with and say, hey, I can start using that. I got to remember that the next time I get a patient that presents like this. I have to look for that type of thing. And that
right.
happens with a lot of times with refresher courses too. People go to refresher and they're kind of like, oh, I don't want to deal with this refresher class and all this nonsense. And it's the same stuff every 3 years. But you know what? If you sit there and listen to what's going on, a lot of times, yeah, it's a refresher. But there might be, again, that one little takeaway that you can actually use and carry it with you, you know, in the future, and something that you can glean from that refresher to take with you for the next 3 years. And then 3 years later, you get something else. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, my God, Jim. Are you saying that just because you don't use a particular skill all the time means that you will never use it?
Right. I know, but that's the thing. And then next thing you know, if you're not paying attention and you're not aware of it, that's when you get that job where you're saying to myself, "Oh my God, well, how do I do a needle crank, or you know, how do I decompress?" You know what I mean? I mean, this isn't. We're not doing the recertification classes and the CMEs. You know, they're designed to allow you to meet certain criteria, but at the same time, they're designed to make you a better EMS provider. And that was one thing that I think that I touched on the expo too, one of the podcasts that was on, where they mentioned, you know, it's not the people that go to these conventions and that are interested in them. These are the EMS professionals out there that care about their career, the patients they're caring for, care about what they do and to be the best that they can be when it comes to, you know, EMS and what they're trying to do, you know, in the field. And not just kind of passing through, not just going through the motions and getting the CMEs every 2-3 years or whatever it may be. You know, and you said even with the ACLS and PALS, you know what, that's the type of thing. It's that alphabet soup card, you know.
Right.
But it's a type of thing, though. You know what? Sometimes you take an ACLS class, and you might walk away with a different view on something, a different view on a certain rhythm or a certain drug. Maybe the instructor has a certain interest in a certain drug and what it does and how it acts. And he might give you, like, his little spin on it, and you can walk away saying, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Well, that's a good take on that. I'm going to look into that some more on my own. Or the next time I use that drug, I'm going to kind of be aware of this patient's history, that drug might need to be doubled or may need to be halved. You know what I mean?
One of the oldest sayings in medicine is see one, do one, teach one. And I guarantee you, if you learn to teach, if the people listening to this learn to teach anything, you will know it colder and better. And the time that you need to use it for yourself, you'll sit there and say, I know this. This is no sweat. Instead of saying, oh, wait, is this, you know, and maybe second-guessing yourself, maybe questioning yourself, because in the heat of the moment, because you've taught it to somebody else, you're going to know it cold.
Right.
And it pays. It pays for itself, and it keeps you fresh. And you want to know something, you know, the title of this thing and that email that you and I sent back and forth was, you know, seen that, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Yeah, so what? I'm a hazmat technician. So what? I'm doing this. But it keeps you fresh. It gives you another perspective, and it keeps your job interesting. And I'll tell you that sometimes it's half the fight because, you know, how many of these sick calls can you get? How many of these, you know, respiratory infections that you get called to as a chest pain can you get before you lose your mind? So you have to walk out, and you have to, you know, find the things within our world that keep us fresh, keep us a new perspective on the job that we're doing on, you know, every day.
And like you said, focus on the job that we're doing. Try and, you know, do the awareness classes to do them and be aware and to be able to, you know, hopefully protect yourself and your patients should those issues arise. But focus on things that are going to really make you a better provider right now.
Or save your own life. No
right.
ICS. You know,
exactly.
Know the instrument command structure. I mean,
right.
You
that's
know,
important. Now, how many people actually take those classes?
How many people? Right. Right. Well,
mandated, and you get people that take them. They'll do the online class. They'll kind of skim through the book as they're answering questions. But you know, but then when you get thrown into that, I mean, I've been thrown into that situation where, you know, I've been forced to be the scene commander for a little bit, and it's terrifying. You know, it's terrifying when you know and you have a clue what's going on. You know, but when you have no clue and you're like the first unit on the scene, and all of a sudden now you're thrown into the, you know, you're the incident commander, and you know, and you're sitting there praying to Christ that somebody else shows up quickly enough to take over. In the meantime, you know, you're it. You know, and it's important to take the classes, I think, that are going to benefit us and that we can be prepared for. And I know people out there that have taken these tactical medic classes in high angle rescue. They value that training. They feel it's some great training. I'm sure it was. You know, my thing, I think, is you know, unless your agency is doing it all the time, it's not as worthwhile as, let's say, you know, medical courses or incident command courses or, you know, more in-depth, even more in-depth awareness courses would be.
No, you're 100%. I mean, if the more you know, the better off you're going to be in the situation where you need it. And it's when you walk into a situation in ignorance that you become a statistic. And that,
yeah.
You know, if you think about it, you know, it even if you don't want to deal with, you know, weapons and hazmat and tactical EMS, ICS, you know, that's a requirement. How many people skip over that? And look at the amount of tornadoes and floods that we have every year increasing and the amount of damage that they're doing. I mean, you've
yeah.
got to know this stuff because you're going to be putting yourself in these situations.
Yeah, you wind up, you'll find, like, again, you'll find yourself in that situation and you'll have people looking to you as the, you know, the professional to do what you have to do and to know what you're supposed to do. And without keeping fresh, without keeping aware and training and stuff, it's hard to implement. And I think that goes for even a lot of the drills too. A lot of people, when they have drills for incident command, even hazmat drills and things, people kind of blow that off as though it's a hassle. But those drills can be beneficial, even if they're not physical drills, even like those tabletop type drills that go on. You know, take advantage of that stuff. The training is out there. People just have to kind of, you know, seek it out. And, you know, find the train that's going to be most beneficial for them, I think, that they can use, you know, right away.
Let me ask you something. When you're at those tabletop drills or you're doing some of these classes and people are there just because they're getting paid,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you feel about those people? I mean, you know, do you feel they're taken away from you?
I don't think they're taken away from me. I have found that a lot of people that go into these classes that are doing it because they're getting paid or because it's a mandate from whatever agency they're from or something like that, a lot of times once the training kicks in and once the scenarios start getting put on the table and, you know, you start to do the whole role-playing things and the what-ifs and all that good stuff, they get serious and they start to realize that this is some important training that they can actually use. You know, very rarely do I see someone continue with the, well, I'm just here for the, you know, for the dollars, or I'm just here because it's mandatory. You know, once it kicks in, I find that, you know, 99.9% of the people are into it. They get into it. They you know, they want to keep going. You know, they really start throwing in their own what if of the scenarios, you know, giving their own little take on it because maybe they've been in the situation before and they kind of give their little thing of what they did, what happened, what their incident commander did, things like that. So
yeah, and every
you know,
now and then you learn from somebody who's actually been there, done it, and really
right.
gotten the T-shirt, shows the scars for it too.
Right, exactly.
You know, and yeah. those are the ones that it's just like you sit there, you're slack-jawed, and you're like, holy crap. You know, you pray that you're never in that situation, but you're really glad that you happen to stumble upon that class and hear from somebody who had been, because you
right.
pick up some stuff that can actually, and we say this and it gets overplayed and overused, learn this stuff because it might save your life someday. Hey,
right.
for real, we are in a job that puts us into an uncertain and sometimes highly dangerous situation. It
yeah.
behooves us. It is our duty to protect ourselves first, protect our partners, protect our patients. That's the first thing you learn when you step into any of these classes. And
that's
after we're done,
how often do you hear that? Right? It's always you know, seeing safety be aside. It's like drilled into your head, and it gets to the point. It's just something you say, but that can be oftentimes, you know, the most important part of any call that we respond to.
Right. Scene safety. I was out, you know, as you were as well. I mean, we were out in that hurricane, okay? And I was out there. I got out of the bus at one point because a tree was down, and I wanted to see if it was clear. And since I'm in the city here, a big gust of wind came, knocked me against the vehicle door, and
it's
that wasn't
skinny.
The real danger part, right? I got too light. But there was a scaffolding that was probably about 8 feet away from me that gave this loud creak and a snap. Now, nothing came down, but holy crap, was that my fault that I wasn't aware of where I was? Absolutely. I got out in a dangerous situation, not being cognizant that the scaffolding itself is a danger. And then when
Right.
you step out of that bus, that's a level of protection you're giving up, you're forfeiting there. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, lessons learned. It's you got to always be aware of your where you are and how many times you've done a highway job and stepped out there and somebody blows by the barriers, blows by the cones, blows by the flares and skims you, you know, so your jacket lifts up in the vacuum they create as they blow
Very
by you
often.
at 60 miles an hour.
I do a lot of jobs now on the thruway, and there's so many times I'm on that thruway, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like a target here. You know,
Yeah,
all it takes,
right.
because
Just put the bullseye on.
you get people who, when they drive their vehicle, how many times have you heard the whole thing of, you know, the lights kind of distract people. People kind of get almost attracted to the flashing lights. Well,
Yes,
you say
I've
to
heard
yourself, you
that.
know what, if somebody's not paying attention and they're doing 65 miles an hour down the highway and they see all these shiny lights and they start careening into them, you know, they can take out 2, 3, 4, 5 people, you know, in one swoop because they're daydreaming and there is that danger there. So I'm always like aware, you know, of my surroundings on those highway jobs. I'm always like, okay, I want to get off of the street and off of the scene and in the back of the ambulance as fast as possible, you know, because it's not safe. It's, you
Right.
know, it's not safe. But at the same time, it's the type of thing where you have to do your job and you have to be in that situation. But I think the point is just to kind of limit your exposure, you know, and to keep, you know, always kind of keep that third eye out for, you know, a potential danger like that, you know.
Right. And you know what, it begins to sound, I know that, you know, when I listen to this and listen to others, it sometimes sounds like a broken record. But,
Yeah.
you know, it's what we're about. It's what the job is about. The job is about the unpredictable. If we could predict everything, then, you know, then there wouldn't be any dangers in the world because we'd know what they were. We could plan out the response to them and have it organized. But even when you have a predictable environment and you can say, hey, you know what, in this situation where a flood and such, there's going to be unpredictable aspects of that are going to happen. And you have to be quick on your feet, and education, training, and throwing yourself into a different environment. And now I'm going sort of over to the end of the people who say, why take a hazmat class? Why take a tactical class? Why take a ropes class? You know, I really don't deal with it. It's once in a thousand. We have a team that does it. It doesn't, you know, I'd rather work some overtime on the bus and pay my pocket instead of taking this class. And you know what? Yeah, I can see the argument. Money's always a good thing, but, you know, knowledge is power. And you don't know where that knowledge is going to lead you. It might lead you into a better job with more money, or it might lead you into a position where you can keep yourself safe enough that you keep your job.
Yeah, my main thing with those courses, I think the important thing for those, you know, the more advanced classes, like the, you know, advanced hazmat or tactical training and diving and all that good stuff, is if you're going to be able to use that and it's something that is going to be beneficial to your community or to your agency, and you can train and you can keep yourself safe and patients that you might be taking care of safe, then by all means, go ahead and do it. You know, but if you're in a type of situation where it's never going to happen, you know, and you're never going to be using that because either your agency doesn't do it or fire is in charge of that or police are in charge of that, you know, spend your time, you know, better off doing a more advanced awareness class under the same topic, or spend your time, you know, on the medical end of it and to really kind of fine-tune what you're doing rather than trying to make something that's never going to be.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Listen, Jim, I'm sorry I'm getting sort of flagged here.
No problem.
Thanks for – I'm sorry for the last-minute notice on this.
No biggie.
It's our job, right?
Yep.
All right, dude. Be safe. I'll talk to you.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Josh.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank Josh for coming in. I mean, he was busy. He went ahead, you know, and took the time to call in from, you know, from his job. So I appreciate that, you know. And this is the thing with again, with EMS, you know, we're dedicated to our job. We're dedicated to the side things that we do, like podcasts, like blogging. And I appreciate him for taking the time and joining me. I appreciate those of you out there that take the time to listen to these podcasts and to join me on the blogs and to kind of maybe tell me what you want to talk about and what you want to hear regarding the EMS industry, because this is important, I think, that we as the field providers, you know, have the biggest voice that we can possibly have, that we're all, you know, together here and we're all on the same page and trying to make the changes in EMS that we all want to see. And that it's not, it doesn't have to be about politics and money and about, you know, CYA, that it can be about the patients. It can be about what's best for us as an industry and what's good for our patients and our interactions with patients and doctors and nurses and all of that. And we can all come together and work together by doing this. And these blogs and these podcasts are all a step forward to getting this stuff done. So, you know, I'm going to cut the podcast a little short today because I'm not going to go on and on about the topic. I think me and Josh pretty much covered it pretty well. What I do want to do real quick, because I came across a couple of products, like I said, at the expo, and I'm going to actually highlight some actual products that I saw on the blog. I'm going to go ahead and you know, do a little quick review on them over the next few weeks. But some things I want to get out there right away because they were, I think, easy to get to and easy to use. One thing I just want to mention is I have a new National Registry Mastery course, and this is a big course, but what I've done is I've got a series of videos and downloads that are all free that you can go ahead and sign up for, they are all geared to help you pass the NREMT exam, give you ideas and resources and paths that you can take to pass the NREMT so you can go ahead and pass it the first time so that your, you know, let's think, face it, you spent how many thousands of dollars in paramedic school, right? You don't want to go ahead and fail the National Registry in the end. So you want to do as much as you can to pass. Now, this is again, free, some free videos and downloads. It's part of a bigger course that in the end, is, I'll give you an overview of the entire course in the last video as well. But go check it out. I'm going to put a link to that. Sign up for the National Registry Mastery course. It's NREMT studytips.com, and I'll put a direct link in the show notes so you can go ahead and check that out. Again, all free, bunch of free videos and downloads. I think you'll really find benefit in the free stuff. And then if you want to go ahead and claim the entire mastery course, I give you a way to go ahead and do that as well at the end of the video series. You can go ahead and check that out. So please go do that. And also the stuff on Facebook and all that good stuff, I hope you'll go ahead and take advantage and spread the word and let people know about it as well. The other two things, real quick, is I mentioned Steve Kanarian. He's got his new book coming out. It's called The Downward Walk, and it's a USAR paramedic experiences after the terrorist attack of 9/11. And I actually talked to Steve during the EMS Expo, one of the guys that I've actually done some webinars with and been dealing with online for a little while, and it was great to meet him in person, a fellow New York City paramedic, which was pretty cool. Both of us were at 9/11, which was, you know, you got kind of got that unspoken bond there, you know. And, you know, Steve is passionate about 9/11 and about what we can learn from it, what we did there as EMS, as an agency. And I think he has some really good, unique perspective on it and some stories in this book that I think needed to be told. I think Stephen, you know, put it out there and was able to, you know, really capture these stories. I was fortunate enough to be stuck at the airport in Las Vegas for like about 5 hours, and a few of those hours I was had the honor of Steve letting me take a peek on his iPad of the book, and I was able to read a chapter or two out of the book, and there really is some great stuff there. And the book's coming out soon. It's going to be available in a hard copy. It's going to be available as a digital download through Amazon. So great stuff there. I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. And actually, Steve is going to be having a pre-publication offer for the hard copy we can get this book for like $10, which is like peanuts, right? So try to go ahead and get this book, guys. It's well worth it. It's an EMS story. It's something that EMS providers can benefit from, I think, and it's a really great perspective on 9/11 and how it relates to a paramedic's experience during 9/11. So check it out. Again, I'll put the link for that as well in the show notes. Also, finally, I want to talk about this is for paramedics. It's an iPhone and Android app. It's called 12-Lead ECG Challenge. And actually, this was created by Tom Bouthelet, and he is a blogger from EMS12leads.com. And Tom actually was on a podcast with me a few weeks ago. Great having him on the show. I was actually great to meet Tom in person as well at the expo. But he actually just released this app. It's in conjunction with Limmer Creatives. And this is a great app, guys. All right, $4.99. You can't beat this price, okay? And this 12-lead ECG challenge, that's the name of the app. It's an ideal way for you to actually sharpen your 12-lead ECG skills. And, you know, it's got 150 12-lead EKG samples. And these are samples that Tom has clinically obtained. So they're not like computer-generated, you know, ECGs. These are real ECGs from patients. And he actually gives you sort of a scenario of a patient scenario, what the ECG is, and lets you get that practice and the insights of the ECG, of that scenario, to kind of give you the confidence in what you might see for those types of EKG presentations and what the patient's presenting like and all that good stuff. Great stuff. If you go, I'm going to put a link below for both the iPhone, the iTunes store, and for the Android store as well, and so you can go check them out. If you go to the Android market one, there's actually a video there where Tom is talking to Justin Shore, the Happy Medic, and they did a quick little review of it at the expo, and you can kind of get a quick peek of what it's all about and what it does. So really great stuff, guys. This is $4.99. You're not going to beat this for this type of – there's a lot of ECG apps out there. A lot of them are good as well. But to me, you know, the fact that he's got this whole thing with the scenario, and these are actually 150 clinically, you know, obtained 12 EKGs that give you that practice, you're not going to really be able to beat this. So go ahead and check that out. Again, link's going to be below in the show notes. And this way, you've got everything right there, you know, for you, and so you don't have to go searching for it. I would like to try to do that in the blogs as well. Just make sure you guys get the actual, you know, links. You're going to go searching on Google for it. Again, I love meeting everybody over at the EMS Expo. Be sure to check out all the links in the show notes, guys. I want to thank you, of course, for joining me tonight. You're just about out of time. 10 minutes left. I'm going to cut a little bit short, like I said. But please, thanks for joining me here at EMS Office Hours, everyone. I want to thank Josh for calling in. Anyone that popped in the chat room, thanks for joining as well. Next time, be sure to leave me a quick comment in the chat. I'd love to hear what you're thinking as the show is live as well. And again, remember, EMS Office Hours, okay? It's here and it's dedicated to you, the EMS professional. I want to talk about what you're thinking regarding the EMS industry. So be sure to comment on the show in the blog at emsofficehours.com, or send me your ideas directly to my personal email. It's jhoffman@ems-safety.com. Let me know your industry concern, if you have some testing questions, or even if you want to maybe work a show around a recent call that you did that you thought was interesting. I will definitely be sure to try to fit it into an upcoming episode and share your thoughts with the EMS community. So thanks again for joining me, everybody. This is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours, and as always, stay safe.